So we are reading from the fourth canto, chapter 6. Brahma satisfies Lord Shiva. This is text number 48. Jasmim jara pushkarana bhamayayam Doran sayas prishtariya pitakrishat Kurvanti tatrai anukampaya kripam Nasarabodaiva bala kriti kramam. Yasmin, in some place. Jada, when? Pushkara naba mayaya. By the illusory of Pushkara naba, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Durantaya. Insurmountable, sprishta diya, bewildered, pritak drisha, the same persons who see differently, kurvanti, do, tatra, there, he, certainly, anukampaya, out of compassion, kripam, mercy, na, never, shadhava, saintly persons, doiva balat, by providence, kriti, being done, kramam, prowess, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sabhoi Charanaram in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear Lord, if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes commit offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously, knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy. He does not show his prowess to counteract them. Please repeat. My dear Lord, if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead sometimes commit offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously, knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy. He does not show his prowess to counteract them. Therefore, it is said that the beauty of the tapasvi or a saintly person is forgiveness. There are many instances in the spiritual history of the world in which many saintly persons, although unnecessarily harassed, did not take action, although they could have done so. Parikshit Maharaj, for example, was unnecessarily cursed by a Brahmana boy, and this was very much regretted by the boy's father. But Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse and agreed to die within a week, as the Brahmana boy desired. Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor and was full in power, both spiritually and material. But out of compassion and out of respect for the Brahmana community, he did not counteract the action of the Brahmana boy, but agreed to die within 7 days. Because it was desired by Krishna that Parikshit Maharaj agree to the punishment so that the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam would thus be revealed to the world, Parikshit Maharaj was advised not to take action. A Vaishnava is personally tolerant for the benefit of others. When he does not show his prowess, this doesn't mean that he is lacking in strength. Rather, it indicates that he is tolerant for the welfare of the entire human society. So here Lord Brahma is offering prayers to Daksha. He's saying, my dear Lord, if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes commit offenses. In other words, he's saying, in some places materialist means this Daksha is a materialist. And sometimes he's made an offense to you. But a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. So he's saying, Lord Shiva, you shouldn't really take it so seriously what Daksha has done. He's saying it in a very polite way. He's not mentioning their names, but obviously he's this is the indication. Please don't take it seriously, Lord Shiva. Because you know they will commit offenses because they're overpowered by the illusory energy of the Lord. Everyone is under the illusory energy of the Lord. So seeing like that, a saintly person, why would he criticize or become angry with anyone? But rather he tries to help them. They're in illusion. If he becomes angry or criticized or punishment, they're still going to remain in illusion. Of course, sometimes the punishment is for rectification, as Lord Shiva was actually... This was a source of rectification, actually, in one sense. But they're going to be angry and bewildered in any condition. So the only thing that can help a conditioned soul is a devotee of Krishna. No one else can actually help a conditioned soul. No one, except the devotee. So if a devotee sees that, you know, Shiva or anyone is becoming bewildered and is committing offenses, he knows it's just part of the material circus. That's the way it goes on. People will be offensive. It's an envious place full of envious people. Obviously, there's going to be criticism and offenses made. But a devotee, he actually has compassion because he sees the disease and he knows the remedy. Other transcendentalists, they see the disease, but they don't actually know the remedy. They just want to become cured from the disease. But the disease comes back again. It's a temporary effect. But the devotee, he sees the disease, he knows the proper cure for it. You go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna says, you never have to come back and take birth in the material world. This is the solution. So the devotees know this. So instead of becoming angry or criticizing or taking action against such an offense, rather they are tolerant. So this is a great qualification of a devotee. Tikshava, Parunika, two of them, compassion and very tolerant. You have to be tolerant in this material world. Prabhupada was given in that in Juhu, Bombay, Radha Ras Bihari incident, when the police come and they try to break the temple, they try to take the deities away, so many problems were there. Prabhupada was giving a lecture about it one time. He said, everybody's against us, we're just trying to tell people to chant Hare Krishna, that's all, what else are we doing? He said, then everyone becomes against us, the government becomes against us, the communist parties are becoming against us, everybody's becoming against us. He said, what can we do? He said, we simply have to tolerate this nonsense. What else can we do? It's nonsense. We can go anywhere and preach Krishna consciousness. We don't need this place in Bombay. We got so much money, we got so much facility. We can go anywhere and preach. But we're here in Bombay. Why are we not leaving? Karunika Tatikshava. We are tolerant and we're feeling compassion. We're here to deliver these people in Juhu in Bombay. That's why we're here. We're not here just to have a nice time and chant and dance in front of the deity. We're here to deliver the people. So what can we do? Everyone's against us. Simply we have to tolerate their nonsense, he said. So this is the material world. It's always going to be nonsense. You have to learn tolerance. So tolerance, but not just tolerance for the sake of tolerance, like the yogi. He's very, very tolerant. He's standing in the water in the sunshine. Not that kind of tolerance, restraining yourself. But tolerance to give them something better. Give them the Krishna consciousness. This is compassion of a great devotee. So here, he's giving Maharaj Pariksit's example. He shouldn't have been cursed. He was such a saintly king. He made a mistake, a little mistake. And he was cursed to die in 7 days. So he could have... He had the potency to counteract that curse. I mean, he was the emperor of the world. All the sages respected him, and they wanted him to stay there because he was such a good emperor. All those brahmanas, they have so much power, they could somehow or another transfer the curse or something. Pariksha could have done it alone by his spirituality, because he was a great devotee from birth. He was always remembering Krishna and looking for Krishna. So he could have done it by himself also. But anyway, he went along and he got good advice. They indicated actually it's Krishna wants this to happen because he wants Sukadeva Goswami to come and speak the Bhagavatam to you. Otherwise, you know, it's time for the appearance, the descent of Srimad Bhagavatam into the material world. Krishna's just about to leave, we need the Bhagavatam. So this was the situation created by Krishna. So they all, Pariksit Maharaj went along with the desire of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. The Lord's program was much more important than his own program. Although he could have made a counteraction against the curse, he didn't. So Prabhupada said it doesn't mean, because they don't react in such a way, it doesn't mean they're lacking in strength, rather it indicates he's tolerant, simply for the welfare of all human society. So he was very tolerant. As a result of his tolerance, we have the Bhagavatam today. So he sacrificed, that was his sacrifice. He sacrificed his life actually for the welfare of human society. So that he, in Brahma's prayers, he's also praising that even though he became angry with, actually became angry and he did so many bad things and criticized you, but knowing that he's just, you know, he's under the grips of material energy, then you should actually not. Of course, the Lord Shiva had already sent his men to kill him, but Lord Shiva, he has the power. If he wants, he can bring him back to life again. Which happens, he comes back to life again, under certain conditions, of course. He gets the goat's head. But this is the potency of such a person. Just like Lord Balaram, when in that Ramahashana Shuta incident, and Lord Balaram entered into the place where the sacrifice was going on, and Ramahashana Shuta didn't stand up. He thought, well, I'm sitting on a Vyasasana, I'm like, you know, I'm the main speaker here, so it's really not necessary. I've been appointed to sit here, so it may not be necessary to stand up for others. When Balaram came in, he said he didn't like his audacity. How he's still sitting there when he's supposed to be teaching the highest principles of religion, but he should have stood up when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes into the assembly, but he didn't do it. That means he's not fully understanding the highest principles of religion, or surrendering to Krishna. So Balaram got a bit of kusha grass, a blade of grass, and cut his head off with it. Kusha grass is very sharp, you can cut your fingers easily. But generally you can't cut your head off with a piece of... But Balaram, he cut his head off. So all the sages, oh, what have you done? We gave him our blessings, we gave him our benediction, he had long life, he had full power of the senses, he had knowledge, he was out, he's been sitting around for 1,000 years and preached to us. We gave him all of our blessings. That cannot go in vain, because a Brahmana's blessings cannot go in vain. Now what you've done, you can't counteract the blessings. So what are you going to do in this situation? And Balaram said, well, I can bring him back to life again if you like. So this is the potency of the Lord and his devotees, extremely powerful. Lord Shiva's had him killed, but I can bring him back to life if you want. And he actually does, he does that. So this is the potency. So such potent persons, it's not although they're lacking in strength, as Prabhupada said, they can't counteract. But they don't bother. They don't bother to counteract because they're so powerful. So they see that everyone is tightly under the grips of Maya, and they're just moving around according to their past activities. So who do you blame? They don't know what they're bewildered. They're performing activities, they're getting reactions, and they're just transmigrating through birth after birth after birth. They're in total ignorance. So how you can be angry with them? Just like Lord Brahma, when he offended Krishna, he stole all the cows and boys away. He was thinking that, really, this, I don't think this can be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's sitting in with his friends and taking lunch. And his calf and sticking his belt. And I don't think he can be the supreme cook. Anyway, I'll test him. So he stole away the cows and the boys, and then later Krishna performed his whole Leela. He reproduced all the cows and boys and calves and everything like that. So Brahma was completely bewildered. And so at last he came to his senses. Krishna revealed to him his position. And so Brahma came to his senses, and he was offering very, very nice prayers. And he offered one prayer, similar prayer to this. And he said, "Please forgive me. Although I made a great offense, you please forgive me exactly as a mother forgives her child who's kicking within the womb. The child is in the womb and he's kicking. But the mother doesn't take that as an offense. You know? They often say, oh, he's kicking. It's a nice thing that, but the baby's kicking with the feet. It's not a nice thing. But it's childish play. So Brahma is using the same example. Please forgive me, just as a mother forgives a child kicking in the womb. You're the supreme person. We're actually all your children. We're in the womb of material nature. We're all bound up. So kindly forgive us." So Krishna likes that when you come to your senses and realize and offer prayers like that when you're understanding the truth about your existence and your conditioned existence, and you want to get out and you're approaching Krishna. So this is very, very pleasing for Krishna. So all of that sinful activity, and it's all becomes superficial when you take to the process of surrendering to Krishna. And Bhavananda Prabhu, he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Sometimes Prabhupada, you say you're all pure devotees. You're all taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, you're chanting Hare Krishna. And according to the Shastra, one who's absorbed in devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna, he's a pure devotee." This is the Shastric injunction. He said, "How can you say that, Prabhupada?" He said, "Because actually we didn't even know it was piety before in our life. We only knew impiety actually. We grew up in such a situation, it was nothing but impiety. Sinful activities, that's all we knew. That is the standard. We have a standard in this one, no meat eating, intoxication, this is sex, no gambling. That's the standard in the West, right? This is our prohibitions. That's the standard in the West. That is the standard. It's sinful. Everybody's sinful." So he said, "We were so sinful all of our lives. So how can you say that we're pure devotees?" And Prabhupada said, "No, because the fact that you've taken to the process of surrendering to Krishna," he said, "everything else becomes superficial. All of your sinful activity is all superficial. Because now you surrender to Krishna. Remember, we've been in the material universes, billions and billions of universes, again and again and again, performing so many simple activities. Now you, and Krishna sitting in your heart, waiting for you to turn to Him. At last you turn to Him. He's so happy. So all of that other sinful activity, and He doesn't, that's what becomes insignificant, becomes superficial. Because now you're understanding, oh, Krishna, you are my Lord, and I'm your eternal servant. That is what Krishna is saying, okay. Then everything else is superficial, all of that nonsense forgetfulness of Krishna." So this is the greatness of Krishna. So the world is designed that everyone is rotating on a cycle of birth and death, and it's all being done automatically by Krishna's energy. He's not really concerned. But when you surrender to Krishna, oh, then he takes concern. Oh, at last he's turning his head. Then Krishna is interested. Otherwise, he just leaves it to his material energies to take care of them. They can do as they like, you know. But the moment they make a decision to turn to Krishna, oh, Krishna is right there. I'll give them all help. I'll give them all. Prabhupada says, you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 100 bounding leaps towards you. Where is that devotee who is turning to me at last? He'll give you all help. So, we speak something of Rathyatra also. Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Any question? We speak about Rathyatra. The Pahandi Vijay today will begin at 12 noon, is a note. I guess the function will begin at that time. So it's gone. But the Yatra, as we know it, it started in America in 1968, I believe, when Molati Mataji bought a little wooden doll from the import store, the Cost Plus import store. So they had Indian paraphernalia. India was fashionable in that at that time, 60s and 70s. Indian music was very fashionable, sitar and bells and beads. Of course, the Hare Krishna promoted a lot of it. The hippies used to wear beads and bells. Oh, no, no. There's bells around their neck and things like that. So anyway, she somehow or another, she got this deity, little doll, and she showed Prabhupada, "I found this Indian doll in the Indian shop." And Prabhupada, "Oh," he said, "oh," he touched through his head. He said, "You know, this is Jagannath." He said, "Was there any more deities like this? Any white one or yellow?" She said, "Yeah, there was. There was a big tub full of them." So he said, "See if you can get those." So she went back and got Balaram and Subhadra, small deities. And Prabhupada said, "Yes," he said, "this is Krishna, and this is Balaram, and this is their sister Subhadra." So they had come here, so I think they want to be worshipped here. So then he started the worship of Jagannath. And he asked anybody who knows how to, any sculptures they can make, a deity, wooden deity. So Shyama Sundar Prabhu, he said, I know a little bit of sculpturing. So he said, "Okay, you can make a deity about 3 feet big of Jagannath," some deities. So they went down to the wood yards on the in San Francisco Bay on the ocean. Now they went to some wood yards to get the, sometimes they get wood, old wood and things like that. But anyway, they were there searching around and they saw a big piece of tree, a big redwood tree that had just been washed up on the shore, and it was just nobody's wood. So they went and took it. It's ironical. That's how Jagannath appeared to Indradyumna. In Indradyumna Leela, Jagannath, a big log came on the ocean. Same thing in Prabhupada's Leela. He's our Indradyumna. He revealed Jagannath, Seva for us. So anyway, they made 3 foot deities of Jagannath. And Prabhupada said, "Okay, I'll show you how to worship." He said, "Get one plate and one candle." So they put a plate and a candle and they lighted it. He said, "Okay, so you offer it to Jagannath. When your arm gets tired, you give it to the next person. Everybody else is chanting Hare Krishna. So you offer it around, and when your arm gets tired, you give it to the next person." They just go like that. He said, "This is called arati." This was the puja ceremony. So Prabhupada started this arati then. And then all the devotees started making little Jagannath deities, and they would wear them around their neck on a piece of string. It was a fashion, and all the devotees had a little Jagannath. And Madhuvisa Prabhu, he was telling a story, because that time the Vietnam War was going on, so the American youth were being called up to go to join the army and go be sent out to Vietnam where the war was. So he was called up, he was a young man of age, so they called him up, and then they have to go for a medical, so you have to take all of your clothes off, and you go in and they examine your whole body, make sure you're strong and things like that, and healthy, nothing wrong. So then Madhuvisa went in, and so the doctor said, "Okay, take that thing off around your neck." He was completely naked except for his Jagannath. He said, "No, I'm not taking this off." He said, "Take everything off, this is the rule." He said, "You can do anything you like, but don't take my, let me take my Jagannath off." He said, I will not take him off. And the guy realized he couldn't get rid of that. So then he said, "This guy is crazy. Give me that form." He said, he wrote on the form, the medical certificate that you need to go into the military. "This guy is crazy. Get out of here, you crazy man." He said, "Oh, great. Jagannath saved me from going to the war, the battlefield." So he said he went back dancing and chanting down the road. Yeah. Crazy man. Well, Jagannath saved him. So then they had the, then they made it, Prabhupada said, he was driving along and they saw a flatbed truck behind him, and he said, "Look," he said, "in Puri they have make a big rath for Jagannath, a big cart. You can make one." He said, "Get one of these flatbed trucks means a truck with nothing on the back, and build a little canopies, and you can put Jagannath. And we can have a Rathyatra festival. This is a festival they have in India. So then they did that, and you can, there's a picture of it, and Jagannath's in the front. It got a great kickoff, a great start in America. Prabhupada put it up really big, and still going strong in America. Anyway, I read a little bit about Lord Chaitanya's at the Rath, because this is the altar Rath. Now, some devotees, they say, well, altar Rath is, because the Rath means you're pulling Krishna to Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu was absorbed in that, and the devotee thought, what about taking him back? Who wants to, which devotee wants to take Krishna out of Vrindavan? So some devotees, often in the Gaudiyas also, they not much interest in attending the altar Rath, because you're taking Krishna back, you got him, you pulled him there, that's what Radharani wanted and the gopis wanted. But now we're going to take him back. So some Gaudiyas, they say, well, we don't usually attend that. It's okay if you have a devotional mood. If you feel like that, then you don't attend. But you don't tell everyone that this is the mood you should have. Devotion is right, sobriety is the spice of life. There's hundreds of millions of ways of serving Krishna and approaching Krishna. But for ourselves, we have one way. We have our own mood. Someone else has a different mood, you see. Someone worshipping Krishna in Vaikuntha, someone's worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. So okay, that's your mood, you keep it to yourself. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya, he said, Lord Chaitanya observed the altar rat, the return rat, exactly as he had served the main rat. That's all he says. He doesn't give any description of what he did, but he gives a vivid description of pulling Krishna to Vrindavan. That's very vivid, and the whole psychological exchange of Radha and Krishna. So that, but he said he observed the same as the altar rat. So Lord Chaitanya, we're his followers, he's our leader. So he observed it. He didn't feel it was a wrong mood or anything like that. When we're pulling the rat, we're remembering Krishna. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing us, his ecstasy was within. So this is how he was observing. So we can also observe like that. Then you're in Vrindavan. If you see Krishna and you're serving Krishna, that is Vrindavan. So this is from the Madhya Leela, chapter 13. Lord's dancing at the Rathyatra cart. Lord Chaitanya, when he came in front of Lord Jagannath, he said, now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. And Srup Damodar was constantly singing this. Now I've gained the Lord of my life, in whose absence I was being. But this is, so this is Radharani at Kuruketra. Now I've Krishna, I'm seeing Krishna again. I was burning in separation, but now he's appearing before me. So while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verses in a loud voice. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of the malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the river, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. This verse was recited by Lord Chaitanya again and again. But for Srup Damodar, no one else could understand its meaning. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place of Kuruketra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in his ecstasy, he asked Srup Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Lord Jagannath, you are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kuruketra there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan there are flower gardens, and the humming of the bees and chirping of birds can be heard. Here at Kuruketra you are dressed as a royal prince, accompanied by many great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appear as an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. I therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. In this ecstatic mood, Lord Chaitanya recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. The meaning of these verses was known to Srupa Damodar Goswami, but he did not reveal it. However, Srila Rupa Goswami has broadcast its meaning. So we know that Rupa Goswami, he also heard that. Everybody thought it was some poetry, some love poetry by Chandi and who's the other poet? Famous poets, Vaishnava poets, they were great poets, but they was writing love, very famous in India. Anyway, they thought it was from a love poem that Lord Chaitanya, nobody could really understand. Except Srupa Damodar. Rupa Goswami heard it. And so he wrote the meaning down on a piece of palm leaf. And he stuck it in the roof of the thatched roof. It was the explanation of what he was saying. He understood that, no, this is Radharani telling Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. It wasn't just a love song in separation. And then Mahaprabhu actually went to that place, and somehow or another he put his hand up and he got that piece of paper and he found out, who has written this? And I said, it's Rupa Goswami's writing. He said, how he has understood my mind? How is it possible? Rupa Goswami has understood my mind. So Rupa Goswami was revealing, he revealed at that time, that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Then it was fully revealed by this, he was revealing in this verse that he is fully Radharani, he is Radharani, he is Krishna, but he is actually in the mood of completely Radharani. So this was revealed by this poem much more to the devotees by Rupa Goswami's grace. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in the association of Srupa Damodar. The gopi spoke thus, dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen to the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish to see these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for most people, the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it would be very difficult for me to keep my life. My dear Krishna, formerly when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. And now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There is no place in my mind for Gyan Yoga or Dhyan Yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in Gyan Yoga and Dhyan Yoga. It is not right for you to do so. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my conscience from you and engage in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. The gopis are not like mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yogic practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. The gopis have fallen to the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timingala fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timingala fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by the yogis and gyanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It's amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan, and how is it you have forgotten your father and mother and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna and the forest where you enjoy the Rasa Leela dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft-hearted and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you, yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is my only misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal happiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Jasoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all. Or do you want to enliven them by coming here? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they're all dying. What is their condition to be? Dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj, and you are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come. Let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. So here the gopis are referring to Krishna. Of course, Krishna's speaking to them at Kurukshetra, and he's telling them that actually there's no separation. I'm everywhere. I'm existing everywhere. He's giving them philosophical understanding. And so the gopis and Radharani are complaining. Now, you did the same thing with Uddhava. You sent a letter with Uddhava for us, and it said, "My dear gopis, my dear friends, you should know that separation between us is impossible at any time, at any place, under any circumstances, because I am all-pervading. Therefore, rather, you should meditate upon my lotus." Now, the Radharani and the gopis are saying, why are you treating us like common yogis and gyanis? This is for the yogis and gyanis. They will concentrate on your lotus feet. They are understanding you're all-pervading. Don't you know we've loved you from the beginning of our lives, and you're treating us like just common gyanis and yogis? This is not proper for you, Krishna. We want you to come back to Vrindavan. Meditating on your lotus feet, this is the goal of the gyanis. It takes them much effort and strain to do that and to keep that. But your lotus feet, we put on our breast, Krishna. We keep them on our heart. We don't want to, they're not the object of our meditation. We want you to come back. We want to hold your lotus feet. So why you are treating us like this, Krishna? This is not proper. They're giving some chastisement here for Krishna. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself always to be indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. "My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all of you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, and cowherd boyfriends, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are the very life and soul. And among all the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in a distant place have occurred through my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or the man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live for each other. They only live for each other. For if one dies, the other hears of it, he or she will die also. Such loving, chaste wife and loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation. They do not care for personal happiness, desiring only each other's well-being. Such a pair certainly meet again without delay. You are my most dear, and I know in my absence you cannot live for a moment. But just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayana, and by his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. I then return to Dwaraka Dham, and thus you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving Narayana's grace. This allows me to come there unseen by any others. I hope very soon I'll be visible to everyone." So here, Krishna is saying, by the grace of Lord Narayana, I'm able to go there in Vrindavan. I'm coming every day. So I don't know why you're complaining. I come every day. The emotional state of the gopis, they're so absorbed in Krishna, they don't know if it's real or dreaming. They're constantly absorbed in Krishna, and they're seeing, they're remembering the pastimes, they're engaging in pastimes. But then they think, was it a dream? It was just a dream. I was just remembering the previous pastimes we were having, and it became a reality. But actually it was a reality. Krishna was coming, and they were performing pastimes, but after they were so... Was it just a dream? Oh, it was just a dream. I was just remembering our previous... But Krishna says, no, I was coming. So you can't criticize me. He said, at Ras Leela, when the Purnima comes, you all remember the Ras Leela dance. You're so absorbed in it, you go into trance and we're having Ras Leela. He said, actually, I'm there, I come. Every Purnima we have a Rasa dance. You think you're remembering previous Rasa dance. You're so bewildered. But I'm coming and we're actually observing... performing the Rasa Leela, but you think, oh, it was a remembrance of when we were here. And I said, no, I'm coming all the time. You can't criticize me, he said, because I'm always coming to see you, but you're so bewildered you don't know. Then Krishna says, I've already killed all the mischievous demons who are enemy of the Jadu dynasty. I've also killed Kamsa and his allies. But there are two or four more demons still living, and I want to kill them. And after that, I shall very soon return to Vrindavan. So this was Dandavakra and his brother Vidurata. These were the last demons to be killed. So this was just after he killed Shalva. He just killed Shalva. So then he was quite near to Mathura. So he took the advantage of going there. I think they were in Mathura, Dandavakra and his brother. So he didn't have to go back to Dwarka after killing Shalva. He didn't go back because he was near to Mathura. So he went to Mathura. Then he killed Dandavakra and Vidurata. So then all the inhabitants of Dwarka, they were in Dwarka. He didn't go back there. So then when he was in Mathura, he said, I take this opportunity and go to Vrindavan. So Krishna just ran. He ran to Vrindavan to meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And they were there waiting. They were on the edge of Vrindavan. They had come there. They had made a settlement there. When they returned back to Vrindavan after the killing of Kamsa, and Krishna said he's coming back in a few days, so they waited on the border of Vrindavan there. So that he said they were waiting there. And so then Krishna just ran from that Mathura, he ran to Vrindavan. And then they, exactly the same pastimes went on as before, with his parents and the gopis, and for 2 weeks. 2 weeks or 6 weeks? Or 2 months? Maybe 2 months. And then the whole thing went back to Goloka. Krishna and all the eternal associates. And all the demigods who had appeared also, they all went back to their respective demigod positions, and the parts and parcels that had joined the Leela, they all went back, and everybody, what happened? Other people were there, what happened to Vrindavan? All the Vrindavasis, the whole thing went back. And then in another form, Krishna, he went back to Dwarka to finish the pastime there. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That's why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I'm indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives and wealth and sons I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. Very important statement here of Krishna, that whatever wives, sons and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. So this is why Krishna is there in Dwarka. The Jadus, they say Krishna is our relative. He's our nephew. They're family ties. So they want Krishna to be with them in Dwarka, because they made their community there. So Krishna said, the only reason I'm there is to bring them some happiness. So Krishna's only happiness is actually in Vrindavan. His greatest. Therefore, he never leaves Vrindavan. So when he leaves, he never leaves, but he does. He never takes a footstep. But when he does leave, or the Vasudeva expansion leaves, it's not for his pleasure. It's for the pleasure of the Jadus. That's why he's going. His pleasure is in Vrindavan. So that Krishna never leaves. He's always enjoys that pastime in Vrindavan. But when it's necessary to leave, that expansion, but here he's going for the pleasure of his devotees who want to serve him as a king, as a member of the royal order. But Krishna says, this is not my happiness. He's crying day and night thinking of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. That's Krishna's real happiness. So this is the Krishna Mahaprabhu is presenting before us. Otherwise Krishna was very difficult to understand. That only once in the day of Brahma, when he comes on the 28th millennium, he performs his pastime of Parikya in Vrindavan. And the rest of the times that Krishna comes Vrindavan is there, Radharani is there, Jasoda is there, but it's Swakiras, that Radha and Krishna are married, and there's a mood of awe and reverence. So that Krishna is an incarnation of Kiradakshayi Vishnu. It's not direct. So when you see in an encyclopedia or something like that, or you see any, it'll say Krishna, you look for Krishna, it'll say incarnation of Vishnu. That's correct. So all the rest of the incarnations during the rest of the day of Brahma, they're coming through Kiradakshayi Vishnu, like all the other avatars coming through Kiradakshayi. But that 28th millennium, and one day of Brahma, then the original Krishna comes from Goloka. He doesn't come through the agency of Vishnu. He comes directly. He's the source of Vishnu. That's the original personality. So this is the Krishna Mahaprabhu is presenting to us. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult to understand who this Krishna is. Even when he's here and performs his part, but by the grace, Mahaprabhu follows Krishna. Then he actually reveals that much. He makes it available to everyone. Krishna revealed it and made it available, but not many people could understand, because he made a demand. Sarvadhanam parityajam, manikam, you surrender to me. So, not very well known, but Krishna in the form of Chaitanya, I'll make it known, but I'm not making any demand. You don't have to take the chanting of the holy name, just take the save of Krishna's favor. I'm giving. Then he's making it very, that is why Mahabhadanaya. He's making that original Krishna, not the other manifestations of Krishna, that original Krishna, the Mahaprabhu is made available, and specifically through this pastime of Jagannath, he's revealing that Krishna to us. Your loving qualities will always attract me back to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days, and when I return, we shall enjoy both day and night with you, and all the inhabitants and damsels of Brajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. He made her listen to a verse which banished all of her difficulties and which assured her that she would again attain Krishna. Lord Krishna said, devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained for me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, completely absorbed in ecstatic emotion, while looking into the faces of Lord Jagannath. He danced and recited these verses. Jagannath Swami ki, pratyacha mahotsav ki, nitai go premanandi. Any comment?
Where Mahaprabhu is dancing in front of, behind Prasad, and when Lord Chaitanya goes...
Say the whole thing again.
Okay. He hits in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu is dancing ecstatically in front of Lord Jagannath, and seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, Jagannath is going slowly behind him, and sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes behind the Rath and he was not coming in the front, and Jagannath Rath would not move, he would stop, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in the front, then the Rath would move. So the purpose it says that Mahaprabhu is testing Lord Jagannath whether he is remembering him in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that whether he is remembering him or he is moving forward, you know, without his presence, without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence. So when he comes in the front, then he starts moving. So in that purport he says that there is a competition between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath, and it seems like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerges victorious always. And in another place we find that when the Rath cart reaches Balagandhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still resting in a garden, you know, he gave mercy to Pratapudra, and Pratapudra king, he went back and they started pulling the Rath, so, and the Rath would not move, so Pratapudra would bring his own wrestlers called Gaudas, and they would pull the Rath, still it would not move. Then he brings elephants and they harness elephant to the cart, and still the elephant would cry but it would not move. Then when Mahaprabhu hears this, he comes and he gives the rope to his own man, you know, and they would pull it, and then Mahaprabhu goes behind and puts his head behind the Rath, and Rath would start moving without even being pulled by his associates, and Rath reached in one moment to Gundisha. So I have two questions in this. One is that what exactly the competition, and you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerges victorious. Second is, if he comes, if we consider this pastime that from Kurukshetra they are going to Vrindavan, but we find in Krishna Leela that when the gopis met Krishna in Kurukshetra, we don't find Krishna. You say he is going every day to Vrindavan, but physically we don't find this actually happened, that from Kurukshetra Krishna went back to Vrindavan. So this pastime which is taking Krishna from Kurukshetra to, so how it exactly happened in those times? We are really take, the chariot is going, Krishna is going from, you know, Dwaraka to Vrindavan. So there's two questions.
The first question there is a competition to see who is the strongest, Krishna or Radharani. And so it was appearing Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani was strongest, because when he stopped, then Jagannath would stop. When he would go behind the cart would stop. And when he came in front and was walking, then Jagannath would stop. It appears Radharani is stronger, that she's attracting Krishna. Madana Mohan Mohini. She's attracting Krishna. And the other question, how we know Krishna went to Vrindavan?
Of Yatra, this pastime, like from Kurukshetra, the gopis are taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. But when the solar eclipse took place in Krishna's time, they met, Brajavasis and Krishna met. But Krishna would not exactly go at that time to Vrindavan back. So is it, how this event is celebrated, that Krishna is going in chariot to Vrindavan and, you know, the gopis are taking him? Is it...
So he's manipulated, he'll manifest, he's... Because he never actually leaves Vrindavan, so he just pops out and starts the pastime there. So simultaneously, it's not that he's absent from Dwarka. He's still doing his pastimes in Dwarka with his queens simultaneously. So that's the Vasudev feature there, but the original Krishna, that's why he never leaves. He's just there. So he manifests the Leela before the gopis there. So Kuruketra, then he wouldn't be going to Vrindavan because the gopis weren't there. They also went to Kuruketra. So they were there all together. The pastime wouldn't be there in Vrindavan. They were asking him to come back.
I just need a clarification. I don't quite understand something. Krishna appears in the 28th yuga cycle of the Vaibhishvatumaru. Okay, that's Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, with Parakiya Ras. In the other yuga cycles, I think you said that Krishna appears, but he descends from Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and he doesn't display Parakiya Ras, he only displays Swakiya Ras with Srimati Radharani. So in the other yuga cycles, this Krishna appears, not the yuga cycle that we're in now, but in other yuga cycles, Krishna appears in Vrindavan and performs Leela, but that Krishna descends from Shirodakshaya Vishnu, is that correct? That's correct. Okay. But there's no Parakiya Ras displayed.
No. They're married. It's like Lakshmi Narayan. Navagutam ki, Altarat ki, Jagannath Swami ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, Netai Gopimanandi.